Well, good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
And this is the season.
Yes, hallelujah.
This is the season we celebrate. Our Heavenly Father showing the earth and you and I how much He loves us.
Amen.
He emptied heaven of awesome treasure in the form of His Son Jesus, came down here for us. And sometimes I find that the most amazing thing that ever happened in the universe.
Amen.
Our Heavenly Father, God Almighty, the Creator God, taking the form of a human, coming down, presenting Himself as a sacrifice for our sins.
Amen.
So that we may have forgiveness, salvation, to spend eternity with Him. There is no other action, no other thing that will ever happen in this earth or in this universe as astounding as that thing, as that right there.
Amen.
So, but I know our Lord works through people on this earth. He works through us. He works through you. And I pray that you are praying about His agenda and His will for our nation.
Amen.
We should not let things go the way the world wants this nation to go. We must pray every day, fervently. The Lord's will be done in this nation as it is in heaven and as it is written in heaven for this nation. We are a beacon to the world, sending out the gospel, missionaries over the years, and that is our privilege. That is our privilege. And I don't want that to ever stop. And I pray this nation turn to the Lord in a mighty fashion. I pray we pray about that. That this nation turn to Him.
Amen.
That's what we were. That's what we were made for.
Amen.
There's no other nation on earth like ours. Made up of different creeds and races. Founded on the principle that this is a nation dedicated to the Lord God.
Amen.
And His Son, Jesus Christ. And so, keep praying. Keep praying. I want this nation to be as the Lord sees this nation.
Amen.
As the Lord wants this nation to be.
Amen.
And we've been praying every day about this nation in regards to the election and so forth. A lot of it's over and done with in some people's minds, but I believe it.
Amen.
The Lord has a surprise coming.
Amen.
And I'll just leave it at that. The Lord's will be done in this nation.
So stay strong. Keep holding on to that faith.
Yes. Stay strong, people. Keep praying. Agree with the Lord's agenda.
Amen.
His will
Amen.
To do things in this nation. To have respect for this word. To uphold the innocent
in this
yes. nation.
Yes. Thank you, Lord.
How can we call ourselves civilized? A civilized, wonderful nation. When we have the blood of 60 million innocent babies on our conscience, on our hands.
Mm-hmm.
Don't tell me that's a civilized nation.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe the Lord wants to change that around.
Amen.
Change it, reverse it, overturn it in Jesus' name.
Amen.
And I shudder to think if we don't.
Yeah.
He's a just God. He's a loving God. He's a merciful God. Forgiving. But he is just.
Hallelujah.
So let's not forget that. Let's keep praying. The Lord's will be done in this nation as he would like it. As he would do in this nation. So, Father God, you are so loving, so wonderful. You gave us Jesus. You gave us your only begotten Son. And I can't think of a more loving, awesome thing that anything or anybody could do in the universe, but you did it for us, Father God, and we thank you. But I pray our nation turn to the Savior, turn to Jesus. And yes, bow our heads, bow our knee, repent before him. I don't want our nation to come under a judgment, but sooner or later, nations who rebel against the Lord do come under some kind of judgment. It's just that way. So, Father God, help us. Help this nation turn to you. Remove the blinders from our eyes. Unstop our ears, Lord God. And hear your voice. Hear your word. Father, I thank you. I thank you. You are merciful. You are forgiving. And I thank you that we are gathered here today in freedom. Freedom to worship your holy name. Freedom to lift up the name of our Lord Jesus. And I pray that be the way it is always in this nation. Freedom to lift the name of Jesus. And I pray this nation turn to the Lord Jesus in a mighty way. And everyone would say and agree that yes, this nation is a Christian nation. It is a free nation under God because of our service to the Lord Jesus. And I thank you, Father. I thank you for this time of the year that we celebrate the birth of Jesus. It may not be the exact day, but we're celebrating his birth. Whether we do it in December or April, we're celebrating the birth of our Savior Jesus. We thank you for this holy time. I consider it a holy and joyous time.
Amen.
We were doomed, but Jesus came. Jesus came and paved the way for us.
Amen.
Took our sin. Washed us clean. Thank you, Jesus. We will be eternally grateful to you. And we look forward to that blessed hope when you return to this earth.
Thank you, Lord.
We will be with you for eternity. But we thank you, Lord. We praise you in the holy and mighty name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
If you have your Bibles today, please turn to Psalms 89 and please stand for the Word of God. Psalms 89. And please stand for God's word. Thank you. Remembering the covenant of David and sorrow for lost blessings. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. With my mouth I will make known your faithfulness to all generations. And I have said, mercy shall build up forever. Your faithfulness you shall establish in the very heavens. I have made a covenant with my chosen, and I have sworn to my servant David, your seed will be established forever and built up your throne to all generations. And the heavens will praise your wonders, O Lord, your faithfulness also to the assembly of the saints. For whom in the heavens can compare to the Lord? Who among the sons of the Almighty can be likened to the Lord? God is greatly to be feared in the assemblies of the saints and to be held in reverence by all. those around him. O Lord, God of hosts, who is mighty like you, O Lord? Your faithfulness also surrounds. It surrounds you. You rule with the raging of the sea. And when its waves rise, you still them. You have broken Rahab in pieces as one who is slain. You have scattered your enemies with your mighty arm. The heavens are yours and the earth also is yours and the world in its fullness. You have founded them. The north, the south, you have created them. Tabar and Hermon rejoice in your name. You have a mighty arm. Strong is your hand and high is your right hand.
Yeah.
Righteousness and justice are foundations of your throne. Mercy and truth go before your face. Blessed are the people who know the joyful sound. They walk, O Lord, in the light of your countenance. And in your mighty name they rejoice all day long. And in your righteousness they are exalted. For you are the glory of their strength. And you, in your favor, our horn is exalted. For our shield belongs to the Lord, and our King is the Holy One of Israel. Then you spoke in a vision to your Holy One. And you said, I have given help to one who is mighty. I have exalted one chosen from my people.
Thank you, Lord.
And I have found my servant David, with whom holy oil I have anointed him,
Amen.
With whom my hand shall be established. Also, my arm shall strengthen him. The enemies cannot outwit him, nor the son of wickedness afflict him. I will beat down his foes before his face,
Thank you, Lord.
And the plagues those who hate him. But my faithfulness and my mercy shall be with him. And my name, and in my name his horn shall be exalted. Also I will set his hand over the sea and his right hand over the rivers. And he shall cry to me, you are my Father, my God, and the rock of my salvation. Also I will make him my firstborn, the highest of kings of the earth. My mercy will keep him forever, and my covenant shall stand firm with him. His seed also will I make to endure forever.
Amen. Hallelujah.
And his throne as the days of heaven.
Yes, Lord.
If his sons forsake my law and do not walk in my judgments, and if they break my statutes and do not keep my commandments, then I will punish them, their transgressions, with a rod, and their iniquity with stripes. Nevertheless, my loving kindness I will not utterly take from him, nor allow my faithfulness to fail. My covenant will not break, nor alter the word that has gone out of my lips. Once I have sworn by my holiness, I will not lie to David. His seed shall endure forever.
Thank you, Lord.
And his throne as the sun's before me. It shall be established forever like the moon, even like the faithful witness in the sky. But you have cast off a horde, and you have been furious with your anointed. You have renounced the covenant of your servant, and you have profaned his crown by casting it to the ground. You have broken down all of his hedges, and you have brought his strongholds to ruin. All who pass by his way plunder him. He is reproached to his neighbors. You have exalted the right hand of his adversaries, and you have made all of his enemies rejoice. You have also turned back the hedge. You have turned back the edge of his sword, and have not sustained him in the battle. You have made his glory cease and cast his throne down to the ground.
Thank you.
The days of his youth you have shortened, and you have covered him with shame. How long, Lord? How long, Lord, will you hide yourself forever? Will your wrath burn like fire? Remember how short my time is? For what fertility you have created all the children of men? And what men can live and not see death? Can I deliver life from the power of the grave?
Thank you.
Lord, where are your formal love and kindness, which you have swore to your David in truth? Which you swore to David in your truth. Remember, Lord, the reproach of your servants, how I bear in my bosom the reproach of all the many peoples with which the enemies have reproached, O Lord, with which they have reproached the footsteps of your anointed. Blessed be the Lord forevermore. Amen and amen.
You know, as Karen was reading that, I kept on hearing this from the Lord. Build the walls of Nehemiah. Build the walls of Nehemiah. Build the walls of Nehemiah over your families. Build the walls of Nehemiah over your church. Build the walls of Nehemiah over your nation.
Amen.
Build the walls. Put watchmen on the walls. And I keep on hearing that, and I keep on hearing the thundering, and I keep on hearing all the time the lion roaring. And I think, oh my gosh, Lord, you know, wake up your people.
Amen.
Wake them up. You know, as I was preparing this, I think it was like Monday, I was in chapter 10, and I was going through different things that we have learned so much through Nehemiah for right now.
Yes.
And in chapter 10, the Lord said to talk about that, and I found this picture up here, and I don't know if everybody can see it or not, but even on Facebook, I'm hoping you can because it's kind of light. But this is out of Nehemiah 10:39, and what it says is this. We will not neglect the house of our God.
Amen. Hallelujah.
It is very important that you set aside to come to the house of the Lord. That you set a time in your house when you spend time with the Lord. And truthfully, this is a season that gets very, very busy. And so I like to encourage you to spend that time. You have to do it. No one can do it for you. Now, in Nehemiah 10, it says, now those who placed their seal on the document were Nehemiah the governor, the son of Hakaliah, and Zedekiah. Then it lists all the people. Now, I learned a long time ago from the Lord when I was very young, and even from Pastor Bernice Matejic, she taught us that when you understand your covenant with the Lord, you stand on it. And it's sealed in heaven, not just here on earth, but on earth as well as in heaven. And so, so when Nehemiah was doing this document, he was one of those people who put the seal on it. Now, if you go down, it also said that there were priests, and it lists all the priests by name. And then it lists all the leaders of the people. And then if you go to verse 28, it says, now the rest of the people, the priests, the Levites, the gatekeepers, the singers, and all those who had separated themselves from the people of the land to the law of God, their wives, their sons, their daughters, everyone who had knowledge and understanding. These joined with their brethren, their nobles, and entered into a curse and an oath to walk in God's law, which was given by Moses, the servant of God, and to observe and do all the commandments of the Lord our God, and his ordinances and his statutes, excuse me, verse 30, we would not give our daughters as wives to the people of the land, nor take their daughters for our sons. Now, I explained that last Sunday. It was that they didn't intermarriage. And I remember one of the things that our pastor taught me when she was teaching a group of us ladies for leadership. She told us this. She said that intermarrying still causes trouble today. So it wasn't just back in the Lord's time. It was also for today. And you've got different nations and different people within that nation actually marrying someone else. And really, they have a lot of struggles. And it's kind of like I said from day one, if you don't have the Lord in your marriage, if you don't have the Lord in your family, if you don't have the Lord Jesus Christ as the headship in a family, you're going to be in trouble. So anybody that I personally marry here in this church, I always tell them that there's a cord, there's a circle, it is them and Jesus. And it's very important to understand that covenant. And it says, if the people of the land brought wares or any grain to sell on the Sabbath day, they would not buy it from them on the Sabbath or on the holy days, and we would forego the seventh year produce and the exacting of every debt. Also, we made ordinance for ourselves to exact from ourselves yearly 1/3 of a shekel for the service of the house of God. And I think this is important to understand this because there's a lot of cross-references, but they still gave to the priests, the singers, and the people, really, if I could say it that way, and put it into everyday terms and leadership. Because they didn't, though it took care of them. Also, the bread. For the showbread, for the regular grain offering, for the regular burnt offering of the Sabbath, on the new moons and the set feasts for the holy things, for the sin offering to make atonement for Israel and all the work of the house of our God. Now this was the law. Thank God that we aren't under the law in this word. We are under the new covenant, which was Jesus Christ that came. It's important because I'm telling you right now, most of us wouldn't be here. Thank gosh. I don't know how else to put it. I mean, how many people, not to lay a guilt trip on you, but how many go beyond yourself? How many really come to this church and vacuum? How many people come to this church every Sunday? I can depend on Vicki to come up there and do that sound. And sometimes it's a headache. But I know she does it unto the Lord. It's an offering unto the Lord. When Karen comes up here and worships every Sunday, that's an offering unto the Lord. He knows it. He's aware of it. He knows you're not doing it to receive something. You're doing it unto worship unto Him and exalting Him. But in this time, in Nehemiah's time, it was the law. Now, let's see, where did I put it here? Verse 34, I think. We cast lots among the priests, the Levites, and the people for bringing the wood offering. Into the house of our God, according to our father's house, at the appointed times year by year, to burn on the altar of the Lord, as it is written in the law. Now, if we would just be honest right here, most of us would not cut the wood. Maybe they had to take off the bark, that I don't know, and keep that burning. That was an offering. They did that. Who was going to do it and when? I think that is so powerful. I didn't even know that as much as I've taught on the tabernacle, as much as I've taught on the roles of the priests, the Levites, the singers, all that, I really didn't even think about the wood for the altar. And Joe and I got a chance to even go to Moses' tabernacle, where it was a replica of it, and we walked up the plank, for lack of words, and my gosh, it was huge. So can you imagine filling that baby all the time so the sacrifices could be done? Wow. And I told you about the showbread. There was one loaf, you know, there was a total of 12 of them. And, you know, the priests and the Levites and the singers ate that. So, Laura, you'd have your hands full, girl, baking bread for everybody. She's made us homemade bread. We've been kind of spoiled here lately. But I'm just trying to tell you, it'd be a lot to keep that showbread going. And you couldn't use any yeast because it was unleavened. Yeast is like a representation of sin. Well, anyways, let's go on. Verse 35. And we made ordinances to bring the first fruits of our ground and the first fruits of all fruit of all trees year by year to the house of the Lord. The first fruits. Now, you guys know how I feel about that. You know, whatever you have, you're supposed to give it. That kind of goes along with the tithe. You know, a certain amount of the tithe belongs to the Lord, and any offering you give should be your first fruits. And if the Lord didn't like that, back in this time, you know, there was no peace that went on. There was no safety for the people. Excuse me. To bring the firstborn of our sons and our cattle, as it is written in the law, and the firstborn of our herds and our flocks to the house of our God, to the priests who minister in the house of the Lord. Hey, you know what? I think it'd be awesome. You guys can just take care of Joe and I. You can feed us, take care of us. That's what it's talking about. The first fruits, the best. The first that comes on, the sweetest. And I always got excited because I was firstborn. So I might not have been a male, but I was always thought, well, thank you, Lord, I can serve you because I'm firstborn. That was kind of a prideful thing, but I always kind of enjoyed that. Being able to dig that in. To bring the first fruits of our dough, our offering, the fruit from all kinds of trees. I love this. The new wine. The best wine. And the oil to the priests. Now there was a big process, as it was called perfumery or something like that, right? I don't know how many years ago I taught on it. But what they went through to process to, for the altar, the incense, which was the prayers of the people. Oh my gosh. And I have every one of the anointing oils back in that time. The Lord allowed me to collect it over time. And just to smell that fragrance. And what the Lord taught me was this. When the Holy Spirit is in the house, there's a fragrance. And we're supposed to have that fragrance on us, in us, to give it away to other people. Because they have absolutely no idea what it is all about to know Him. Lots of people don't even know what it means to be born again. Because no, many people don't talk about being born again. And I thought this was interesting too. And to bring the tithes of our land to the Levites, for the Levites should receive the tithe in all of the farming communities. Woo-wee! And the priests, the descendants of Aaron, shall be with the Levites when the Levites receive the tithes, and the Levites shall bring up a tenth of the tithe to the house of our God, to the room of the storehouse. Now, there are many supplies that Karen Yagel has done for this church that lots of people don't know about. It is her offering unto this church offering unto the Lord, and it's keeping that storehouse filled up. And it's important to do that. It is important to keep God's house supplied. And even when Joe and I fail you because we are human, this is your church. The church is the people. It's not this building alone. All of us have things to do here. All of us have things. And truthfully, I can say thank you, Jesus, because Hilltop's been taken care of. And people care. Verse 39, for the children of Israel and the children of the Levi shall bring the offering of the grain of the new wine and the oil to the storehouse where the articles of the sanctuary are, where the priest who ministers and the gatekeepers and the singers are, and we will not neglect the house of the Lord. I think that's powerful. I think that was a good message for today, telling you that we should never neglect the house of the Lord, this building. We should not do that. And a couple other things that I kind of put down here is that there were so many different names. And names are important, just like your name is important to the Lord. He always talks about names and generations and like that, because he likes to recognize them. And you might feel today that, you know, maybe you're not important, or you can't do this, or you can't do that, or whatever. But I want you to know that the Lord loves you, and the Lord knows your heart, and he knows what you can do. And sometimes he takes us out of our comfort zone and makes us go beyond it. But what I also like was the singing. I love to sing. I love to worship the Lord. For me, music allows me to minister and to worship the Lord, because I believe it's warfare. And that's why that song was so important for me to find the words to it, that worship is warfare. So when you feel like you're so beaten up, the storms are bad, you know, Christmas don't mean anything to you, start praising the Lord. I'm just telling you right now, it'll set you free. And everything that seems to tangle you in that spider web or whatever, he'll start breaking it off. And it's so, so important that you become a part of service to the Lord. Sometimes I don't, you know, people are so worried about titles, and I want to do this, and I want to do that, and, you know, I'm supposed to be this, and, but I just want to tell everyone that it's not in the title. It really isn't. It's what service you do to the Lord. But one of the things I thought was so powerful in here, in everything that I read to you, was where it said, it listed all those names who were the wall builders. And I said, Lord, please look at Hilltop Tabernacle as a wall builder. You know, help us that when we ticked people off, or we did this wrong, or whatever, Lord, forgive us and help us to keep that wall built up. That wall. And I thought what was also important here was that he mentioned all the families. And he said, who signed the covenant? Who signed the covenant? You might even feel like, help me, Lord. You might not even feel like you're important, but you don't know that you're not that person praying for every member of your family. I mean, I know that you do that, but I'm saying maybe the Lord has you in that position, bringing them up before the Lord daily, weekly, whatever. Sometimes there's a purpose for you and your family. You might not see it. Woe is me. This is what's happened. But I really believe that there's a seal on everybody that is born again for their family, praying for their family. I believe time is short. We don't know the time when Jesus is going to return, but I do want to tell you, get ready. Get ready. Get your oil lamp filled up. Have the Holy Spirit just fill you up. Get in that word and start praying and start praising. One of the things I'll mention one more time was in verse 28 through 39, there was a general oath. That's how it's pronounced, a general oath. And one of the things that my pastor taught me was that when you give an oath to the Lord, you have to be obedient to that. So when you go ahead and you vow to the Lord that you're going to do this and you're going to do that, you need to stick with it. And sometimes it's easy when everything's going well, but we have something to give to this world, and that's Jesus.
Amen.
We really do have that. That should be the light in every one of us sitting in here today. We need to know that we are sealed by the blood of the Lamb. I say that all the time. I say that before I go to bed at night. I say, Lord, bless this bed. I plead the blood on this bed. Lord, bless every place that I drive. Lord, bless my mouth so that I say the right things. I could not believe, I think it was yesterday, every Facebook thing that I got on, every message was a downer. And these were people I knew that were spirit-filled. These are people that I know. And so the Lord told me to write them a message to encourage them, to tell them that they can keep, if they keep their eyes on the Lord, stand, trust in Him, He'll take them through it, to encourage themselves, to get encouraged. And I love giving exhortations. I really never knew it was a gift. And our assistant pastor, our son was at the church and he was doing something, and our son went up to meet him and said, I don't know if you remember me or not, but I'm Joe and Marie's son. And this pastor said, oh yes, I know your mom, she's an exhorter. And Sean didn't say much about that or anything. So when he came home, he goes, you know, Mom, he said, you know, that pastor, that assistant pastor, he said you were an exhorter. What's that mean? And we are all to be that. We are all to exhort the Word of God. We are to encourage other people. Yes, they have to encourage themselves. Yes, they have to get before the Lord. But, you know, we should be able to say something that's going to help them have a better day. It could be a smile, it could be a call, it could be whatever. And you know what, I used to have fear years and years ago about kind of encouraging people, talking about the Lord who weren't believers. And there, and I don't know if you heard my story or not, but there was a gentleman that I taught with who always said he was an atheist. And I told him that I was praying for him. He had such hurt because he was so great with kids. He counseled kids. He cared about kids. He loved on kids. Oh my gosh. It was just beyond words. And it crushed me to know that if he didn't give his life to the Lord, if he didn't believe in the Lord, I'd never see him in heaven. And he could counsel so many people. And it crushed my heart. And I don't know about you guys, but I know many people tell me they have family members that are not believers, that just don't believe, or they think you're a weirdo or whatever. I'm going to tell you right now, you need to give the truth. You need to talk about Jesus. Don't hold back. Don't hold back telling the story about Him and what He's done in your life. I felt like I had to say that today. And the other thing that I wrote down here too is about intermarriages. And I think I spoke okay about that. It's really talked about a lot. It's just talked about. It's not just intermarriaging a person that is different from you, from a different nation. It goes deeper than that. It's talking about, and even when I moved up here, there were women who were married to non-believers. That is being unequally yoked. And many women would say to me, well, I'm just praying for my husband to change. And, you know, more power to you, but the Lord gives a warning about that. You're not supposed to be unequally yoked. So people who want to marry, excuse me, the Lord has someone for you. Do I think that a marriage can change? Do I think that a marriage can come back together? Absolutely. That's not what I'm trying to say. I'm saying that when a person is a non-believer and you're a believer, this scripture goes along with it, saying, whoa, you're so unequally yoked, how can you come together? And I talked with many people, many, many, many women that have talked about this. So I really believe that the Lord tells you that when you get married, it should be you, Jesus, and your husband. That's a vow that you make. That's why I've just met so many people that have done this or done that, or the pastor is not certified to do the marriage, and, you know, hey, we can just have it out in a field, and someone did it, and oh my gosh. I'm telling you right now, I believe that it should be any marriage between you, that man, and your husband, and the Lord Jesus Christ. And I would stand on this. How can you separate yourself and pray? How can you proclaim that Jesus is Lord, and this person over here goes, I don't believe in that? It causes trouble. Do you understand what I'm saying? I'm trying to say it in a nice way.
Conflict.
It's conflict. Marriage shouldn't be that way. I can truthfully stand before you right now and say it is so wonderful that when Joe and I pray together, we can feel our house rattle. It is so wonderful to know that we can come together wherever we are and do something for the Lord or pray about a certain circumstance, and we can see the atmosphere change. Sometimes it's not always what we want. We ask the Lord, we give our petitions, but we always ask the Lord to have that his plan will go forth. He wants all the glory. He doesn't want Marie to have the glory, Joe to have the glory, Karen to have the glory, Vicki to have the glory. It's all about him. The glory belongs to him. He deserves all the credit. He's doing it. So anyways, that's this chapter's all about is we have to separate ourselves. That was the hardest thing I ever did. And when I separated myself, even in my early years, it was hard. I mean, I think what was kind of cute, and I don't know how to put it in words. Maybe the Holy Spirit can help me. We're in this world, but we're not to be of this world. And I always say that to my Joe. I always say to him, Joe, don't you ever leave me here because I wouldn't make it. And you might go, nah. But I am so serious. Because we work so much as a team together, and it's all for the Lord. And it makes it peaceful. When we even came in here Friday, I kept on thinking of a Saturday to decorate, it went really smooth. It was just broom, broom, I'll do this, you do that, blah, blah. We knew each other's strong points and weak points and, you know, what we could do and couldn't do. You know, when it's of the Lord, it's just really smooth. Who wants to say it? So I really want you to hear that I'm up here preaching the word with God's grace and his mercy. Really, it is. And the Lord shows me different things, but I still know that Joe's the headship. That's why I always ask him to open up in prayer. I have a reason for that. One of the things that we're not under the law about is selling things on Sabbath. But I always like when we can have our fellowship time, then we can go home and Joe and I can watch Christian TV or, you know, whatever we want to, or listen to music. I kind of like it. And we do that. But if I had to go cut the grass, I'm not under the law that I'm going to be cursed if I cut the grass. And we had a couple people that were here that attended our church, and they felt they were still under the law. And no matter what I would say, I would show them in the Word. It wasn't my opinion. But I'd show them under the Word that when Jesus came, we were no longer under that law, that we were going to be cursed or burned or whatever when we did something on the Sabbath. But I always try to tell people, you know, keep it, do the best that you can do on the Sabbath day.
Keep it holy.
Keep it holy. You know, this sanctuary, when we first started the church, you know, there were people didn't understand our craziness about this sanctuary and trying to keep this sanctuary holy. We wanted a place where we could come and worship the Lord and, how can I say it? And keep it holy, keep it for Him. It was just so important to Joe and I. So I want to encourage you with that. You know, have a time and a place that you worship the Lord. I thought what was really kind of cute, I tried to do a little more detail of this, but it said that in Nehemiah 10:32, it said, also we make ordinances for us to charge ourselves yearly with the third part of a shekel for the service of the house of the Lord. And it said we made ordinances for us. What the people were committing themselves to do was that they were going to pay a temple tax. And it said the Mosaic ordinance required one half of a shekel. But conditions were really bad. It got really, really tough. And so they reduced it back down to a third. But that third always came into the church. And I remember, I think it was, I don't even know to be honest now, maybe like 5 years ago, a man said, well, you know, I don't like to give anything to the church. You know, that's all they want to do is to take my money. And I said, yeah, that's right. And he just kind of sat in the chair, didn't expect me to say that. And I explained to him that offerings that go to the Lord, that keeps this church going. And when it doesn't come in, that's like, I don't know about you, but I'm on bended knee saying, where am I going to get that money to pay for that? You know, and I listened to some of the prophets and some of the fathers of the faith and the mothers of the faith say, well, you know, you just got to move ahead. You got to trust in the Lord. You know, and my heart will go thudder, 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 thudder. But I've learned to do that. I've learned to trust in the Lord. All of a sudden, you know, something will come in and I'll go, oh my gosh, it's going to pay for this. Or, oh, it's going to, you know, pay for that. And so what I'm trying to say is when you do what the Lord asks you to do, He will take care of you. One way or another, it's going to come in. And I'm standing. Joe and I are both standing for this, that these churches up here, we're going to open up again, and the harvest is going to come forth.
Yes.
You know, for some people, you know, I don't know how else to say it, I'm just standing for it. You know, some people are building, some people are doing this or doing that, all kinds of things. But I am standing that we're going to have a harvest, that there's going to come a change here. Whether, I don't know, maybe the Lord has to show us how to do something different. I don't know. But I'm just really standing on that we do what the Lord has us. And I know He has been preparing us. I know it's not in numbers. And I really believe that He's doing things in us to help other people. I do believe that.
We need the churches, too, to be unified, and we're going to need the churches for all the harvest.
Yes. Everybody has a different calling. Everybody has something else that they're supposed to be doing. We're not all the same, but we are all the same in worshiping Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. And I remember, I just cannot tell you how many times trying to bring churches together up here. It was the most difficult thing I've ever encountered. The church that we had belonged to for, close to 30 years, it was like we'd go over to the black church. I don't mean it in the wrong way. And man, they could hoot it up and praise the Lord. And it was exciting. And I remember this. I got there kind of late from teaching. I had something going on. And I needed to have a robe. Everybody had a robe on, you know. We even had robes at our church, and we were joining their choir and praising the Lord. It was just great. And I was late, and I didn't have a robe. And the pastor's wife took off her robe and gave it to me. And I still think of that today. That she would do something like that. Do you understand what I'm saying? It's like sometimes we just think that we're better than other people, or I know whatever we're gonna do, ours is the best programs, and it's so sad that we can't let ourselves go and help other people. You know, it's one of the things that Tony really encouraged me Thanksgiving. He said that he just felt so loved when he came to this church. And I thought, Lord, let us love people unconditionally.
Amen. Amen.
That's right.
Who are we to judge?
That's right.
And it melted my heart when he came up and said that to me. And it kind of melted my heart that he gave me a big hug and he gave me a kiss on the cheek. And he said to me, I just want to say thank you. I won't forever forget that. It was just so wonderful that he did that for me. It really set me free. And if I can, there's someone out there waiting for you to do the same thing. Different people that the Lord allowed me to send an exhortation or encouraging words. I talked about how the Lord can embrace you with love, how he can surround you. See, I came from a good home. I came from loving parents. I came from a dad that would put his arms around me and say, Marie, you can do it. I love you. You're going to make it. I did not have problems understanding the Godhead, the Father, because I came from that. I came from love. And, you know, there are many people that just never will tell somebody else that they love them, and then they die. And funerals that I've done, I've heard people say, oh, I wish I had just said I loved you. I wish I had told them that. You know, they have like a guilt. We need to let our love, the love of the Lord inside of us, be given out to other people. So anyways, I kind of wrote this down. That third shekel tax temp, went down, I told you, to a half. And I really don't know, does anybody know in here about a half shekel, like how much that is? I have no idea. It'd be a really good research, somebody to come back next Sunday. But it helped. It helped defray the cost even of the 12 loaves. It helped with the different things, you know, for the kingdom. And the other thing I put down here is it just helped with the work of the house for our God. The work of our God. I was sitting there last night, Karen, thinking that, you know, we got away from our table talk there, you know, like in October or something. But I think maybe we should do something to table talk about the joy of the Lord and encourage people. You know, I think it would be really powerful. Maybe just to encourage people. But I did want you to know about that show, Red, that it was 12 small loaves each week. And there were two lambs with meat and a drink offering on the Sabbath as well. That took time. Someone had to provide that. You know, one of the things I had to learn, Joe had to learn, was that we really couldn't do everything. And or sometimes we burn ourselves and people might not see it. And we did it because we wanted to, but it was just the idea that we had to come to a place where you realize you couldn't, what's the right word? No, not emotion. It was like you couldn't do things for other people because they would never do it themselves. That's a hard thing. Because I know who I am. I mean, I told you I had a hard time with the oil lamp, you know, with the 10 virgins and five that had their oil in their lamp. I would have given half of their lamp, you know, half of my oil away just so that they'd make it in the door. We still have people in this church that know the Lord Jesus Christ, but their oil lamps are not there. And Joe and I pray all the time. I don't want to be left out, and we don't want anybody here to be left out before he returns. And I love the part about carrying the wood, you know, since that arthritis in that left leg really, really, really bothered me. And then to have it in the foot, I thought there were just things I couldn't do anymore. I had a hard time climbing the steps, no matter what I did, no matter how much I prayed. And there's still that whatever, but I keep on proclaiming that I'm healed. I keep on proclaiming that. Not being hypocritical, but knowing that the Lord's going to heal me. Someone had said that people carry the wood. How many of us would carry the wood to be sacrificed, to have the sacrifice burned on? How many of us would come and do different things that would cause us maybe to ache and be sore the next day? I just really felt, not as a downer, but I felt like the Lord was saying that he is asking his people to do what it says right up there. Don't forget the house of God. No, don't neglect it. Do something about it. And so anyways, that's just some things that I put down here. And I wrote down here that we are all called to serve. And you know, I was listening to a preacher, and his message was that God knew us before we were in the mother's womb. He knew us in the mother's womb. You know, I've given that many times as a scripture. And I sat there and I kind of thought about that. Wow, Lord, you knew us. You put us in this time to do your work. I mean, we could have been born during the Civil War time. We could have been born at another time. But he had us here
for a
purpose.
Amen.
We are to be his vessels. We are to do his work and to bring in as many as we can to the kingdom. I don't know about you, I've done it so many times. I'll say, you know, I have this pity party thing and pity party time and woe is me and this is going on and stuff like that. And I think if we all were honest with each other, we all do. Mm-hmm. And I really believe what the Lord is saying is take your eyes off of you. Mm-hmm. Put your eyes on him. And I also wrote down here that he's wanting all of us to have that covenant relationship with him. And to keep up the church, to keep up this land. And I also put down here that if I had to conclude this, that we must not shirk our shirk our duties of giving our portion of the money to the church. I think everybody's doing their tithes and offerings, but I'm just trying to encourage you. With the word of the Lord, there's lots to do. Yes, just things here in the house. And so I want to encourage you that you need to ask the Lord to bathe you with his presence, with that new anointing, and with strategies. That's what I ask all the time when Joe and I are praying. Lord, give us strategies. We heard about him coming as the thunder and the lightning, and him coming as the Lion of the Judah and roaring over the United States of America. He's roaring over every nation. There are many new mantles that he wants to give. And we have to ask ourselves, are we willing to take that new mantle? And one of the things, if I may encourage you, this season is about Jesus. Tell people about the good news. Tell them about the one true gift, Jesus. Tell them about how he's the light in this dark, dark world. Sometimes I look out there and I realize how evil it is and how I only know about this much. And I heard a preacher say this, and I say it to you today. The church, the body of Christ, the people that are here, the church are holding back the darkness. Are holding back things that could really take place here. So I tell you to stand firm and don't give up and run the race with endurance. And I also wrote down here to walk in his wisdom and give him all the glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Hopefully you got something out of that Nehemiah 10. I got kind of excited, like I said, the more I kind of got into it, to know we need to build that wall.